Chris,
Marcus,
we are back. It is a Little Pocket Awareness, guys. You know, make sure you follow us everywhere. You get this on iTunes, hit the subscribe button. If you are on Spotify, make sure you hit download. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's ALPA_QB1. You know, ALPA_QB1. I'm trying to get some more quarterback stuff on there, some quarterback breakdowns for you. So I'm gonna get some out this week. Right, guys? But we're going to get that going for you. And then make sure you follow us on Instagram too, ALPA_QB1 for Instagram. Make sure you, Facebook too, A Little Pocket Awareness for Facebook. Also, you know, make sure you follow me and Chris at the Mark John NFL for me and at King Manelos for Chris. All right, Chris. So how are you feeling this week? I mean, your Packers got a bounce back win.
Everybody's acting like it's a big deal. They played the Lions at home on Monday Night Football. Everybody needs to realize what it really was.
Yeah. You know, I'm feeling good, man. My Raiders are 2-0.
Yeah, that was a big win for you guys.
Yeah, big win against the Steelers. So now the Derek Carr hype's out the window. You know, he's like, he's MVP. Can we chill? Can we just lead?
Leading the NFL in passing yards.
Yeah, he's got the most passing yards. Can we chill? I just want everybody to chill out. let's let the season progress, you know. But we'll get into that game a little later. But we're going to talk about all the great matchups that happened. You know, there's a lot of great games this week. You know, we get at the Cowboys versus Chargers, you know, the golden boy, Justin Herbert, everybody's favorite quarterback versus everybody's other favorite quarterback, Dak Prescott. So we got that. And then, of course, the Ravens versus Chiefs, which is an awesome game. With some crazy finish there. That was an awesome game to watch. And then, we're going to the Steelers versus the Raiders, right? Talk about that game a little bit, you know, Derek Carr emerging or we'll talk about that. And then we'll go into injuries because there's tons of quarterback injuries this week. And then we do a little rookie report, guys. And
knocking down there, the rookies. Yeah. And then that other guy, Kyler Murray, he's kind of having an okay start. We might have to talk about
it. Yeah, we might have to give Kyler Murray some love too. So,
I didn't say that. All right, let's not go that far.
I mean, maybe. All right. Let's get it into. Let's get to some of these matchups. What we got? We got Cowboys versus Chargers, which was the big matchup. Ended up not as high scoring, as much scoring as people thought the Chargers were.
An utter disappointment.
Yeah. So the game ended 20-17, right? We had a quarterback battle with Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott. So, in that battle, Justin Herbert, he finished with 31 for 41, 338 yards, 8.2 yards per carry, but he did have one touchdown and two interceptions. He had some, big throws where he was like rolling out of the pocket and just showing off that crazy arm. He had that one throw in between the cover two where he threw like 40 yards. It was a crazy, crazy throw. Right. But, to me with Herbert, it's all about consistency. Right. Because he wasn't consistent mm-hmm. through that game. So, was there some big highlight throws that you just loved? You loved loved how the throw went, the velocity, how far it went. Off platform or whatever you want to like, it's the more the consistency, like the accuracy consistency for me is still not there. His pick was an inaccurate pass. The first one, he threw that behind Keelan Allen. If he, got more out in front of him, Keelan Allen probably could have made mm-hmm. a good catch for him, threw it behind mm-hmm. him, allowed Diggs to pick it off. Right. And then, the red zone one, they say Keelan Allen fell, but I don't know. That's kind of iffy. Cause I think that safety was like right there anyways. So, that would have been a tough, basically Allen would have had to cross his face or something like that, which is possible, I guess, but that would have been interesting. So, it's always about consistency with me. I just don't see that consistency yet. And I don't think he throws downfield enough as people try to make it seem like his average depth of target this game was 6.7. Right. So he's not throwing downfield really. Right. He's not. So it's more of a dink and dunk offense. But sometimes he adds some big throws in there. He has a really good receiving core, though. He's got Mike Williams. He's got Keenan Allen. He's got
talent there, man.
A talent around him. He's got a good offensive line now. So that's why I think, how little of points they're scoring is kind of disappointing to this point with how what's around him. But, people have already crowned him. He's already been crowned. I don't know. It's already over.
I, I think you're right with his inaccuracy, with just he was all over the place, very erratic. And I think that led to the main reason why you didn't see a higher point total out of the Chargers. I mean, at home in an environment that I wouldn't say that it was much of a home game, though. No. It sounded like it was a little bit of a road game.
Had to go silent count at home, bro. It's terrible. Having to go silent count at home, bro, is terrible.
That's going to make things interesting. Remember when they were complaining a few years ago playing in that soccer stadium that it was 16 straight road games?
Yeah.
That starts happening to them again, that's going to be interesting.
Bro, they were very, very interesting. It was quiet for the Cowboys and loud for them on offense. That's bad. You can't navigate like that.
Yeah, that's a team that travels well, though. I mean, the Cowboys.
Yeah.
That in LA too, that was just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
But
most stadiums are, man. What about the like if they played the Packers or they played and most of these popular teams, bro. I mean,
yeah, it's going to happen to them a lot all year. So if they do play the Packers, if they do match up against the Steelers, if they match up against, you know,
the Steelers,
teams that travel, it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough for them.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, just his performance overall, you know, I just think that he's got to be more consistent down to down. That's all it is with Herbert. Like, yeah. Is there some really highs with him? Yeah, of course. There's some extreme highs, mm-hmm. right? There's some extreme mm-hmm. highs with him when he's making plays, but it's consistency. And, you know, maybe he'll start to get that over time playing with that. But I do not like his offense he's in, to be honest. I think this offense that he's in even, you know, plays more to his tendencies to, you know, take short passes or throw beneath the sticks. You know, I think he needs more of an offense that pushes the limit a little bit on third down, especially on third downs. I think sometimes on third down, he throws short of the sticks, you know, more often.
He needs a Bruce Arians offense, huh?
Or something. Yeah. Or something that, you know, or somebody that's willing to stretch, you know, for third down, you know, we'll get to Carr in a little bit, but I think that's something that Gruden did really well for him was he stretched third down and like forced him to throw past the sticks or make it where, you know, it's third and six, you know, or something like that, where you could set it up for somebody like Herbert, you know, who doesn't mind taking a check down on third down, right? Expecting the guy to make a play. Mm-hmm. You want that to be a shorter sticks. So it's offense that he's saying too. I really don't like it. I don't know. We'll see, but you know, any other thoughts on Herbert before you get to Mr. Prescott over here?
It was – I felt like it gave vibes of how he played in college when they lost to Arizona State. Like the big turnovers in moments that he shouldn't really be turning the ball over. And just a lot more of those type of mistakes that crept back up. The stuff that made us cringe when we were watching his tape and – was the reason why we rated him where we rated him. I think it started to surface and show its head.
Yeah, yeah. It's inconsistency and accuracy, bro. That's all it is to me. We'll see if he can get more consistent. But you know, sometimes that accuracy, man, the mechanics are just there's off. Because I mean, he just has such a big arm, he just feels like he can do whatever. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. But Dak Prescott, I mean, he had a game, but I mean basically he just handed the ball off. So he made some plays, but like his average of a target was like 5.3. I mean, it's really low for the season too. You know, worry about that arm and that shoulder for him with how he's playing and if it's going to keep affecting him because he's playing through it. You know what I mean? It's not like he's, you know, he took the time off or anything like that. You know, he took time off in the, training camp, but you could tell that he can't throw downfield right now like he used to. And, you know, I think they had a great game plan. I think Kellen Moore is really good. I think he doesn't get enough credit for how good he is because, you know, last week they passed all game. This week they came in there and they ran all game. So you could tell that he's a matchup guy. He's a smart guy. And they got a good personnel around Dak that I think he could, you know, manage the game and be all right. But, that shoulder is definitely a problem because, I mean, you got Amari Cooper, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got Michael Gallup's out. But, you know, you got, you know, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, they can stretch the field and they're not stretching the field. So, obviously, they're protecting him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say just the flow of the game was weird. I mean, McCarthy tried to throw it away at the end.
Yeah.
With the 56-yard field goal, 30 seconds left and a timeout. And I don't know what that was, but it just had a weird flow to that entire game on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. The Chargers defense is better than the Cowboys defense though. Yes. That's always my thing with this game is like, why couldn't the Chargers move the football? And it feels like they did move the football, but they just had the ugly turnovers, you know, they had the bad turnovers on that side of the field. So, I mean, maybe the Chargers can clean that up. They can, you know, keep moving the football and score some more points. But I mean, as long as they keep turning the ball over, they're not going to be as good as they want to be. So, I mean, and they got the Chiefs this week. So, you know.
Yeah, this is going to be quite the bounce back week for them.
Yeah, so they got to beat the Chiefs. And then, you know, we don't know how good the Raiders are. Then they got the Raiders the next week. So, I mean, they could be staring at 1-3 if nothing or everything doesn't go right for them. And then, you know, which I hope happens because I just want to see all that Chargers hype. But also, you know, it's a real possibility too, right?
Sure.
Because, you know, I don't know how much better than they are in the Chiefs. I mean, they can't play offense like that against the Chiefs. They get blown out, you know?
No, they can't. I don't think they will. I think that they might have thought less of Dallas than they will as far as they prepare and how they come out for the game against Kansas City. They're plus 6.5 right now. I think that they bounce back a little and they cover.
I don't know about that. You know that plus 6. I mean, that's a pretty good one, man. I don't know about that, but
I think they cover.
Okay, yeah. I mean, in the Cowboys got the Eagles, so the Cowboys would be looking good. I think the Eagles defense is probably pretty good. You know, just from seeing what they've been doing the first 2 weeks. I mean, they control the Niners. It's just, you know, when you got, you know, Jalen Hurts back there, you know,
he's such a wild card. Oh, yeah. It's going to be insane.
All right. So we'll see. It's funny because, you know, this past week, Chris, Jalen Hurts averaged after target was 15 yards, but the previous week it was 3. So I don't know which guy we're going to get. Maybe, I mean, he needs to get that in the middle. Jalen.
It's going to be really interesting to see in that matchup exactly what you're talking about, who shows up. That defense is going to be in trouble because they just lost. Didn't they lose one of their DNs to injury?
Oh, they just lost Sweat, huh? I did see that.
No, was it Sweat? I thought it was Brandon.
It was Graham. You're right. Yours is Graham.
It was Graham. And then they also put Brandon Brooks, offensive lineman, on the IR. So,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, the Eagles offense was not very impressive this past week, but
you just don't know what you're going to get out of them on a week to week basis. Like, it's no clue.
No, not at all. But, you know, that's what the Cowboys got. We'll see how they look, but I am worried about Dak's shoulder. I think Dak's shoulder is a lot worse than we think. He didn't have one pass over 20 yards this past week. So,
wow.
And that's just not usually him. I mean, usually he's pretty aggressive. So,
sure.
That tells you something's going on. All right. I mean, he could be just reading the field and they're playing too high too, I guess. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see when I look.
Well, I think it's minus 4.5 at home. I love that line because that's a complete Vegas line. It could be something. If we get the right Eagles combination showing up, they'll cover that 4.5 points.
All right. So let's get to the next big matchup, Chris. You got Ravens versus the Chiefs. I mean, Lamar Jackson, you know, everybody was, you know, killing him, and they were killing him early too. You know, they're
quite going the after, Sunday night game.
Yeah, I know, they're killing him early. He bounced back and, you know, he finished the game well, and they ended up, you know, winning that game, you know, pulling it out over the Kansas City Chiefs, who looked comfortable. They looked unstoppable for a little bit. You know, they looked like they're comfortable and ready to go. And that game, you know, Travis Kelce was just running all over everybody and nobody could tackle Travis Kelce for some reason. And I don't know what that play
was.
You know
what that game turned on?
What?
He did it. He finally did what I've been waiting for him to do. He got grabbed at the leg and threw a ball up Travis Kelce and it got intercepted. He finally paid the consequence for one of his crazy throws.
Yeah, you're right. He changed the whole game. Changed the whole game.
Yeah,
it really did.
Yeah.
you know, people blame the fumble a lot, and that did have a big part of it. But I mean, that what really changed the game is because, I mean, it was 35-24 at that point.
Yeah, they were up 11.
They were up 11, and he threw that ball. He just had to try to get it to Kelsey.
Take the sack, dude.
Take the sack, bro. You know what I mean? But that's not gonna happen to like a year 11 with him. So he's gonna keep doing this. I mean, it's been working for so long. That's why nobody
been working.
Nobody flinched when it happened. But that was the biggest part of the game. Like, if he just
it right there.
That was it. But nobody like brings that up because, you know, that's QB narratives we talk about every week now, guys. You know, if we like the guy, you know, oh, it's great, but you know, whatever. But yeah, that was the turning point in the game, man. That was the whole game, really. If he didn't do that,
completely changed it.
And you know, the Chiefs can't stop the run. Which is why when I come back to if they play the Chargers, who don't run the ball, that's why I think it's a better matchup for them against the Chargers than it is to playing the Ravens and the Browns the first two weeks. So, yeah. I mean, because the Chiefs can never stop the run. They haven't been able to stop the run like 3 or 4 years. I mean, Chris Jones is a great pass rushing defensive tackle, but
pass rushing
the run. I mean, he can be moved against the run, you know, because pass rushing defense tackles are, what are they trying to do? They're trying to get sacks. They're not trying to stop the run.
Yeah, you know? Trying to just get up the field. Yeah. All you got to do is chip them and let them run forward, and you run right past them.
Exactly. So you can run the ball on the Chiefs. I mean, that's something you've been able to do since, you know, Andy Reid's been there, or, you know, whatever defense they've had there. You've been able to run the football on them. It's not a question, you know, but like the Chargers don't do that. So that's going to be an interesting matchup for them. But back to, you know, the quarterbacks, I thought Lamar Jackson settled in, you know, got back into his flow. They can't stop
the run. Put the team on his back.
Yeah, and just you know, took him to the promised land, took him to that win. It was an impressive performance from him, you know. And I thought he was impressive the first week. I don't know why he was getting killed. I know because they lost the Raiders. That's why he was getting killed. But other than that, I mean, I thought he looked pretty sharp the first week, too. I mean, he still had over 300 total yards and you know, had a you know, some good rushes then too. And then, you know, this week, I mean, he threw the ball better. He had those two picks. I mean, he got fooled on one, and the other one, the guy slipped. But I mean, I thought he looked better as a passer this week too. So, you know, he's going to keep getting better and better, I think. You know, I don't know why
I agree.
Act like they think that they're just going to get stopped or something. I don't know why people just think that. It's weird.
Well, I mean, they're still trying to push that narrative that he's not a quarterback. So it's stupid. It is dumb. And he is the second best quarterback in that class.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I guess because he doesn't have a legit number one receiver to throw the ball to, like they don't think he's a real quarterback or something. I don't know.
I'm surprised you're still giving that to Josh Allen. That's his first 2 weeks, man. I'm surprised you're giving that to Josh.
Josh Allen looked like hell again in a win that they shut him out. So I'm even less sold on Josh Allen now 2 weeks in. We're going to see what happens next week when they match up against Washington football team.
Yeah.
There's a defense that's only going to rush four at him again. So we'll see what happens. I'm still not sold on him. Give me Lamar. I'll take Lamar every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You give me Lamar and he gets a receiver like Stephon Diggs. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Forget it.
See, my caveat to the Josh Allen thing is Diggs, he didn't get open against the Steelers. It was weird. He was struggling to get open. I've never seen that before. And I don't know if that happened, that carried over to Miami, and that's why he's struggling. Because last year he was throwing just a wide open dude all the time who was just killing everybody.
Yeah, but he wasn't hitting them square in the chest. Like Diggs was doing a lot of work last year to make sure that he caught the ball. He's still doing a lot of work this year with that too. I think it's just the reality of what these guys are at the quarterback position is finally showing up. Like we're finally seeing what we saw and know Justin Herbert to be. We're continuing to see Josh Allen. He needs to step it up this season and prove that last season wasn't a fluke.
Yeah.
Lamar is who he thought he was. He's still struggling with the ball to the outside, but I mean, he's basically carrying that football team because of their injuries. So, yeah. I mean, they are who we thought they are.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Any words on Mahomes? I mean, besides that boneheaded play, I mean, he looked like Patrick Mahomes, so it didn't.
I'm curious to see how this plays out for him.
I don't know. My brother keeps seeing they're going 11-6. He thinks they're going to have like that down season. He thinks I don't know. But
they could go 11-6 and make the playoffs and then rattle off a run to the Super Bowl. I don't think they would even care if they went 11-6. They might be like pissed off.
Yeah, they'd be mad.
For greatness.
Yeah.
They'd be pissed off for greatness if they ended up 11-6 and still make the playoffs.
I just don't think enough teams in the league can keep up with that firepower. I don't think
I agree. You
have to be able to, because it's not just about like, you know, holding the ball and controlling the ball, which I mean, I know the Ravens do, but they do it different. It's not the same, like, you know, like
the Ravens can score just like that. Like, it's not like, yeah, like they can do the same thing that the Chiefs can, when it's like they get the ball, they'll score right away. Lamar can turn two ankles and then be gone in half a second. So they have the same ability to score quickly like the Chiefs do.
Yeah, yeah, and they've been averaging 30 points a game 2 years in a row. So they're no fluke offensively either. So that's why they can keep up. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, other teams, I don't know if a lot of these other teams can keep up with them. It's like playing the Warriors, you know? Like, you know, sure, could you beat Golden State sometimes? Like, yeah, but, like, if you have to, you know, save that barrage.
Over third seven quarter, games?
Yeah, yeah. Right. When KD and Clay and Steph just start hitting everything, you know, you have to take that barrage and then, you know, keep going to beat them. And a lot of teams can't take that barrage from the Chiefs when they just start cooking, and, you know, they score 17 points in a quarter and you're looking up and you're like, oh my God, I thought we were just up 20-7. Now it's 27-20.
You mean like Houston 24-0 in the playoffs? Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. They did that twice, bro. They did it twice. It
I know. Crazy. In the same playoff run.
It's crazy. All right. So enough of Patrick Mahomes.
Go ahead. Talk about your guy now. We're at your guy now.
Yeah. You know, Steelers versus Raiders. You know, Derek Carr had a big game, you know, threw for 382 yards. It was, you know, a really great performance from him, you know. Big Ben, on the other hand, Big Ben kind of, he looks very washed still. We're talking about Big Ben. Yeah, he just doesn't look like himself. I mean, there's no other really way to put it out there. He does not look like he,
himself is long gone. They need to start putting a plan together for replacing him. I'm sorry. It's time.
I don't know. I think they believe in Mason. I think they believe in Mason Rudolph.
You think so?
I think they do. I think they believe in Mason a little bit. Or they like Dwayne Haskins. You know, I think they're trying.
I did like that they picked up Dwayne. I did. I think he's going to get a shot next year.
Yeah.
To be the number one, getting this season to learn the offense and sit there and really figure it out, figure out who he is as a person too, because he's acting like a very young man when he started in the NFL, making some interesting decisions personally off the field.
Yeah.
But I liked seeing Dwayne go to an organization like the Steelers, because Mike Tomlin, if he can't set him straight, then there's nobody setting him straight.
No, not at all. So, but, you know, I think Big Ben, I think he needs a great line right now. He doesn't have it.
I think he hasn't had a good line in years.
I know, but he's always been able to make up for with his, you know, breaking tackles and, you know, finding AB deep and throwing it a long way. I think they miss AB a lot. I think he does. I think Deontay Johnson gets
open. I don't know. They got a lot of talent with their wide receivers. Yeah, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool. I don't think that they miss AB. Maybe they miss his freestyling ability and him and Ben's how they connected and where they were at that level. Juju's more interested in dancing than he is being on the same page with Big Ben.
I know. I mean, that's the big issue. But I mean, Juju, he didn't do anything this past game. I know he scored a touchdown, but it wasn't like anything special that you want to run home to. But I do think Deontay Johnson is somebody that can get open for them. I don't know about that offense. I feel like they just chuck it deep or run stupid concepts. I don't think he's in a good offense either. I don't think he is with a good coordinator. I think he needs to be with somebody like that is like,
well, they're gonna
one of those play action people. Like he needs that right now. He needs help. Like, he needs like a coordinator to help him.
I think they might be trying to develop that. I think.
Yeah. Maybe.
I feel like they might be trying to get there.
Maybe.
With the way that they want to run Najee.
Yeah.
I think they might be trying to develop the offense to the point where it's like, oh, maybe you guys are a run first offense so that we can start using the play action.
Yeah, but I mean, they can't run the ball still. So, I mean, obviously wasn't a James Conner problem, I guess. It was a line problem, a design problem, because Najee can't run the ball right now either. you know. So, but you know, I still think they can win with him, though. I still think they're going to be like in the playoff push. They might not be like a, you know, a 13-4 team or whatever like they were last year, but I still think they can beat a lot of these teams. Like I think the Browns are going to have serious problems with these boys still, you know, and they're going to be in games, and Big Ben has 50 game winning drives. So he's still clutch. I mean, it's still in his body, you know. Mm-hmm. He even played better mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter of this game than too. You know, he was able to move the football a little bit good. You know, he'd led a touchdown drive and a field goal drive in the fourth quarter. So he's still a good fourth quarter player. He had a good fourth quarter against the Bills too. So if this defense can keep them in games, he's still going to be able to steal some. So that ability's not going to be gone. He's going to find a way to win. So I still think they're a playoff team. Their offense isn't very explosive, but their defense is legit. They got a really, really good defense. But back to Derek, though, played against the really good defense. I thought Carr looked very comfortable again in the pocket like he did last week. The line was terrible. You know, I did my charting and all that stuff. They were god-awful. He's playing with a bad line, bro. This line is bad. And I think that's why he's, you know, getting, you know, a lot of pub right now and a lot of play, because that line is just god awful, bro. Like, it is just bad. I don't understand, you know, what is going on.
Is it bad? Is it bad because of playing against the Ravens and the Steelers in the first two weeks?
Probably. But I mean, they got the Dolphins coming this week. I mean, the Dolphins are no joke.
You know, that's still a young group, though.
Yeah, yeah. It just has to get better. You know, I think that the week before, okay, against the Ravens, they didn't play that bad. I thought they were average against the Ravens. Okay. But I think, you know, Cam Hayward and like, you know, TJ Watt early was like, man, he was wrecking stuff. They're lucky he got hurt. Melvin Ingram was in that backfield the whole game. So, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think the Steelers are still really good, and they're going to beat mm-hmm. a lot of teams because they got a serious pass rush, bro. If Watt can come back, I mean, Cam Hayward is playing out of his mind. He's like 33.
Yeah.
You know, Carr was under duress the whole game. That's why under pressure, you know, he was 8-for-11. He had 145 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a passer rating of 154.4. So I think that was like the whole game, bro. When he was under pressure, bro, he made some throws. He made throw after throw under pressure. I mean, the throw he made to Ruggs, bro, he had this corner coming down on him, and he threw that ball so early. He just basically chucked it 60 yards in the air and told Henry Ruggs to go get it, and he wouldn't got it. So, I mean, he was just, you know, what I liked about this is that, you know, after they didn't want to, you know, they try to come out and put on a show for the Raiders fans the first game, which I thought was stupid, you know, with all the deep passes they were calling. They've gotten back into, you know, their short passing game with, you know, timely deep shots, right? Because mm-hmm. what the timely deep shots do is that once they've been going short all game, right? They've been, you know, they're running a lot of choice routes. So they're going short all game. And then guess what happens, you know, on third down, and, you know, we're hitting the short stuff for first downs. Then you have Ruggs over the top of you, and it's 61 yards. And that's what I liked about this game plan. And that, I think, this is what they should do all season, because Derek Carr, he's a dynamite in the short passing game. When they're in a pass first offense like they are now, which I love their pass first, it benefits a quarterback like him because he is willing to check down. So on first down, you're still going to get like 5 yards out of something. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. and he's not going to get set. He doesn't take sacks. So on first down, you're going to get a lot more out of him throwing the football. In my opinion, it's going to be a safer thing. He's going to get rid of the football. You're at least getting like 4 yards out of it, which is a successful play. You're second and six. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, that's why mm-hmm. what I like about him passing. But I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
I'm impressed, man. Those are two. It's very possible that the Raiders could have been 0-2 after week two.
Yeah.
Like Derek Carr is showing up and playing well. I think you're right with the O-line struggle, but I think it's more so because of being young and because of who they're playing against.
Yeah.
You're right. They're going to have an interesting matchup again with another tough defense. But being back home and being 2-0, I think the home crowd is going to be electric for that game. And I think everybody's going to be feeling good. And Tua is out potentially with a rib injury.
Yeah.
You know, you got Big Ben on knocked around with a pec injury. So the defense is playing well also.
Yeah.
I mean, Max Crosby is really making a name for himself after the first 2 weeks. I'm excited for you, Marcus. I'm excited for you. And I'm excited for Derek Carr to finally get, you know, a little love, because he's just been getting dogged for years, and I don't think it was deserved.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a bad defense for a long time, man. I think that, you know, as long as they can get that pass rush, their front seven is playing so well. As long as that front seven can keep playing well, I mean, Yannick Ngakoue is playing out of his mind too. So, I mean, if they can keep, you know, getting that pass rush, I mean, they'll be a playoff contender, because, you know, pass rush, bro, that can solve anything. Especially, they're not blitzing, bro. So, you know, they're getting pressure with four. They're not blitzing, you know, and that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. there's nothing that bothers a quarterback more than pressure with four, bro. Like, you know, absolutely. Blitz, because blitzes he can replace. You know, he can replace blitzes. He can replace things. When they get pressure with four, bro, there's nothing to replace. You know, you got to avoid it. So there's nothing that you know you really can that you can deal with once you get it, and that's really like a quarterback's like kind of his Achilles heel is pressure with four with any quarterback. So the ability to get pressure with four, man, is big, and it's going to take them a long way if they can keep doing that. But you know, I do think Carr is not playing that much different than last year. I just think, like, you know, I was telling somebody that, you know, Jonathan Taylor's just not running through, you know, a 5 foot hole, you know, and, you know, running for getting 150 yards on 16 carries, you know, I think that's the difference. Cause sure. Yeah. He can go toe to toe with Phillip Rivers and he can, you know, match him point for point. But I mean, if it gets to halftime and they get the ball, you know, if they score right before half and they get the ball again, he's already down 13 points. So it's that's a big deal, man. That's a big difference for them to get more possessions and get more chances, because, like, they weren't that great on third down this game. I mean, they're about 5 for 13. You know, that Steelers defense is really good, and, you know, definitely gave them issues for sure. But the other side was the defense was getting stops, which then allowed them to keep going and make points,
get back on the field.
Yeah, you know?
That's a big deal. It's going to be interesting to see next week when the Steelers defense gets to go against the Bengals offensive line.
Oh yeah.
They got terrorized by the Bears defensive front. Two picks by defensive linemen for the Bears against the Bengals. And now a divisional matchup, Bengals going to Pittsburgh. It could get ugly. If Big Ben isn't playing, different story. Yeah. But this could be ugly for the Bengals coming to town. And then, like I said, you guys at home versus the Dolphins this week. Take the points.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna be a nice big 3-0 for you guys.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable because the defense is good. I feel more comfortable because the pass rush, how the pass rush looks, and this is not a good line. So that's why I feel more comfortable about this game. But you know, I still want the offense to show up. I mean, they played well against them last year, but we'll see. We'll see what the game plan is for that. But all right, so let's get to some of these injuries. Chris, speaking of injuries, we had
start with Tua, man.
You got the injury to Tua,
a guy that you might not see.
I don't know if he's gonna play with those ribs. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'd rather face Brissett, because I mean, Brissett didn't play well coming in. I think Brissett's a little bit of a check down Charlie. So I like playing Brissett. He's not gonna throw the ball down the field.
Your defense plays right into the coverage.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and your front seven playing as well as they are, that offensive line is a mess. Brissett's in for a long day, and even if they try to bring Tua back, he might have to go back out again. His ribs are going to get pounded.
He's going to get pounded, pound a pound. So you know, Tua went down. I think that's a big blow just for him as in development. You definitely
don't want him to get
hurt, you know, or have the sign of being hurt all the time. So definitely a big blow for him, just, you know, for his psyche. I know he started off pretty bad in that game anyways, but you know, that line's so bad. Who knows how, you know, if he, that's, I mean, that's why he got hurt, because he got crushed in the ribs, you know? So, you know, it's tough when you have a bad line like that. But let's move on to some other guys. You know, Tyrod Taylor is probably the big one. I mean, he had the Texans looking like they could about to send the Browns to 0-2, which would have you know, took all that hype away. They would have saved
poor guy.
The Browns are almost
every year happens to him, man. He gets a starting job, and this happens to him every year.
I know, bro. It was like, it was a freak hamstring injury too. It was untouched.
Untouched. He still scored a touchdown. That's how crazy it was. Like just moving down the field and boop.
Yeah, he's in trouble, bro. I mean, they're not going to be.
He's in trouble. They're going to start David Mills now out there. Thursday night game at home against Carolina. Take Carolina in the points.
I think Carolina's plus 7 now, right? They're plus 7.
Yeah, I think it's a touchdown game.
Yeah, it went up to plus 7.
Yeah. Well, when you get bonehead moments like third and 15, you get the defense to jump, you pick up 14 yards, you decline the penalty so you can punt on fourth and one instead of getting third and 10 and running a play. What? And now you're going to not have Tyrod? Yeah. Take Carolina.
That's
take
why Deshaun Watson's not playing there. Thursday. I mean, there's other reasons probably too, but that's one of the reasons why Watson's not playing there. Probably take those points because the Panthers made Jameis Winston look like Jameis Winston. So
yeah, and you're going to get McCaffrey on the road. You know, they're going to turn to him and just run the ball all day.
Yeah. Winston, you know, with his 150 yards and 5 touchdowns, we should have known when he came with the Bart Starr stat line, you know, that's like a Bart Starr stat line, you know, Bart Starr, 11 for 16 with 5 touchdowns, you know, we should have known.
Made me feel worse about that loss in week one.
That was a defensive loss. That was because the Packers just weren't ready for that barrage. I mean, that was basically what that was. And then he just took advantage of it because I don't know what, I mean, you know, they play the next week and, you know, they play the Panthers. I mean, the Panthers are pretty young and loaded on defense.
Yes.
They are young and loaded.
Yes they right? are.
So, I mean, that's what they're doing. They're really young. And then they got a college coach who's running that 3 high safety stuff. So, I don't know. We'll see how the NFL adapts to that. But that's the new thing, man. I don't know. I mean, that's what the Bucks did to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So you might start seeing that more often to stop some of these high volume passing offenses. But you know, I don't know why the Saints the Saints couldn't run the ball either because the Panthers got Derrick Brown. So this is what I'm talking about. They're pretty legit on defense.
They got some young studs. You were right.
And then Sam
Brian
Darnold
Burke on the outside. You
know, Sam Darnold looks like he's top 20 now. Looks like at least
he's
top
15. Happy. He's happy and healthy, and he's got some people around him. He's got a coach who knows what's doing.
Yeah. He looked good this week. He had some. I saw some breakdowns of him this week. He saw some great anticipation, and yeah, he looked really good. He looked really good this past week. So that's a team to look out for. Good for him, man. Good for him that he's out there and he's actually showing that. He's not making us look stupid, Chris, you know?
No, I know, right? I was just thinking the same thing. Our number two in the class ain't making us look as crazy as we did for a minute.
We appreciate you. And you know, remember, like, right before the season, after his rookie season, I was like, I said he's going to be the best one. So I really appreciate him getting traded to Carolina. You did. Appreciate that. I really do. you know, making our takes not look as bad, Chris. We appreciate the Carolina for making that trade. All right. Other injuries. Carson Wentz went down again.
Not one ankle.
How do you do that?
How do you hurt both your ankles? That's a good question. That's a really good question.
How do you do that, man? How do you hurt both your ankles, bro? Can we talk about this?
That offensive line is not playing as well as it should be.
I don't see. That's the question. Is that him though? Is that him or the offensive line? Because I mean, the Eagles line is playing better. Same line, same guys. Over there.
See, no, I don't know that you can say the Eagles line is playing better because Jalen Hurts is just bailing out of every single pocket in the entire world.
Yeah.
So I don't know that you can. I don't know that I can agree with that statement.
I mean, he's bailing out of clean pockets though. That's the thing. He's bailing out of clean pockets. Pockets are clean. He just needs to step up, you know. But that's what I'm saying over here. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, Quentin Nelson's getting beat. Like, what's going on? Like,
It was Aaron Donald. Let's not lose our cool about it. So
that's true, though. That is very true. Quentin Nelson is still, you know, probably the best guard in the league. But that line is just, you know, it's just interesting. You know, it's the best line in the league with Phillip Rivers. Then all of a sudden, Carson Wentz comes and they don't look as good, you know. And Carson Wentz is actually not playing that bad, you know. He wasn't.
I think they're still trying to figure out how to play with him back there as the QB. I think that's all that it comes down to. I'm really intrigued about this week's matchup against Tennessee. Tennessee looks like they found a rebound after the Cardinals game with how they played in Seattle. So take the over in Indy versus Tennessee this week. Yeah. Julio Jones got ripped off. That was a touchdown, man.
I know. And then the difference with Tennessee is they went from 6% play action 1 week to 31%. Oh, guess what? Ryan Tannehill plays better. Crazy. So
Derrick Henry plays better too. Oh my God, he put up 50 fantasy points.
I know, bro. He went off. But yeah, he's a machine. I have no idea how he hasn't slowed down after all the carries he's had the past few years or his whole life. Yeah, like
no kidding. They flashed a stat on Twitter about his high school coach and how many times that he gave him the ball in high school.
Yeah, that dude probably has over like 10,000 carries in his life already. Maybe more than that. Probably like,
you know, because he ran the ball like crazy at Bama.
Yeah, like 400 times a game at Bama. So it's definitely more than 4,000. I'll tell you, he has a lot. He's still going. He's still outrunning people.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
I mean, everybody's expecting that to slow down. I don't know. I think he's just a machine. To be honest, he's got like some AP in him. I think he's like the AP is just a machine that's going to go to like 35.
That, you know? Hey, I got him on one of my teams this year. Let him go.
let him go. Right. But yeah, that was funny. They actually started using play action with Tannehill. And guess what? He plays better. And like he hits Hooli. Crazy, Todd Downing. Crazy. All right. And then, you know, the last injury, Andy Dalton. You got some Justin Fields coming. Who didn't play well when he came in, but everybody's
no, he did not. Everybody's no, he lying didn't. About it. And maybe that's why. No, and nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to mention that he only threw for 60 yards and threw an interception. Like nobody wants to talk about that.
But nobody they are the talking Bengals. About Allen Robinson dropped against his touchdown. So that's all they talk about.
Oh.
Because if you would have caught that, it's a different, you know, it's different. I guess I could take it. He'd be a 7 for 13 instead of 6. But
maybe they're seeing stuff in practice that, you know, everybody's not actually seeing. And that's why, because they said if Andy Dalton's healthy, they're going to start him. So they're still not going to go to Justin Fields if they can help it.
Yeah. 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 There has to be something. And I think he's not picking up the offense real quick. I mean, I haven't watched it, but, you know, this is just, you know, pretty opinion by looking at his numbers that I don't think he's picking up that offense. Because, I mean, he didn't play better than Andy Dalton did. I mean, so.
No, I think I got to agree with you, Marcus. I think it's just straight up. He's really not ready. And everybody who's telling us that he's ready doesn't really know what the offense
is. No, it's quarterback narratives, Chris. We all hate Andy Dalton. You know, look at Andy. He sucks. Andy Dalton sucks. You know, right. So that's what really it's about. We want to see Justin Fields because Andy Dalton sucks, you know? So, I mean, I'm really getting tired of all these quarterback narratives. That's my problem. I'm you know, the more, especially after studying quarterbacks for like one of my first times actually going through and studying every single one, like the narratives that are around these guys just bother the hell out of me. Like we ignore certain things with one quarterback, but we'll mention it with the other. Just like with Justin Herbert, we will never mention how he throws short. The whole narrative around him is that he just throws bombs all the time. And
that's very true.
And his ADOT at the end of last season, the last eight games, last season was like 6.6. He had 6.7 last game. You know, that's the narrative. Like there's narratives around all these guys. I mean, Kyler Murray, who we'll talk about right there. I mean, he has a narrative that he's great already anyway. So anytime he throws four touchdowns, it's like it gets exploded. So, you know, and then you go back to like, you know, Derek Carr and he has a bad narrative. So when he actually plays well, when he played like that last year, everybody freaks out. It's like I don't know. I'm just tired of quarterback narratives. You know, who we like and who we don't like. Who excuses we give and who don't. You know what I mean?
That's a very good point, Marcus.
I mean, it's true, bro. They give excuses to certain quarterbacks. Certain quarterbacks get every excuse in the world. Certain quarterbacks get ripped for like the same thing. Like Russell Wilson misses guys downfield all the time. And nobody says anything except his coach. His coach's woman. His coach will mention it to him, but nobody's going to, they're not going to show it to you online. It's not going to be on Twitter. They're not going to point it out in like, you know, big red letters. Like Josh Allen missed like five guys downfield, you know? against the Steelers, right? So it's just a narrative. No, I don't know. It's been bothering me a lot. But anyways, let's get to Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has a problem.
He's a problem, Marcus. I don't care how many touchdowns he's thrown. He is a problem. He put the Cardinals in such a bad position with the turnovers that he had this week at home against a Vikings team that had no business being in that game because they're awful on the road, and they're only getting worse because that defense is not what it used to be also. Mm-hmm. I got a big problem with this Kyler Murray hype. Anytime he throws a ball downfield, you know what I see, Marcus?
What?
I see wide open receivers. I see nobody on the defensive side even close to the guys that he's throwing to. That when he's making these throws and making these mistakes and these receivers are stopping dead in their tracks to come back to the football and then go down, run downfield to the end zone, I'm not seeing anything impressive about Kyler Murray other than he can evade a defensive lineman and get himself in a position to throw a football outside of the pocket. I'll give him credit for. I'll give him credit for that. Because he rolls to his left a lot.
Yes, he does. Kyler Murray is explosive. All right.
Yes, so he is.
He's very, very explosive. He's explosive throwing the ball in the air. He's explosive running the football. Okay. So he's going to have explosive plays. He's going to have a lot of highlights, a lot of explosive plays. But he's also another guy that if you watch him, if you actually turn the tape on and you actually fairly analyze every single play and you just aren't looking for his great explosive plays, you know, you'll see what a lot of things that happen in this game. Like, I mean, the middle of the field thing is always going to be a thing for me. I mean, he threw two picks in the middle of the field and he threw 10 last year. So that's a thing. I mean, it's still there. And he almost cost the game making those throws. So it's the explosive plays. They're exciting. They're fun to watch. You know, he's exciting to watch. You know, people love that. They love people rolling out in circles and running around in circles and, you know, making that big throw downfield, but some team's going to keep him in the pocket. So, Vikings, the one play where he rolled out and hit Rondale Moore, I don't know what the hell that defensive end is doing. Like, why are you crashing like that? You should stop and slow play it. Like, once team started doing it last year, he didn't. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get why teams, like, you know, I mean, the Titans are doing the same thing. I know it's week one and week two. Nobody's really like fully into this game plan, but like keep him in the pocket. Like that is the one guy that if you keep him in the pocket, he's going to get restless. His feet's going to get crazy. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be in the pocket. So, since he doesn't want to be there, you got to keep him in there. That's what the Patriots did last year too. And he looked awful. You know what I mean? So, It's interesting how the teams are playing him, but if they keep playing him like this, bro, he's gonna have a big year. But our team's going to keep playing him like this. I say no.
I agree with you. I say no also. I think they're just going out there and they're just saying he's going to make a mistake. Let him run wild like he wants to. He'll make the mistake for you. But when you miss the field goal at the end of the game in a classic Minnesota Viking way, it doesn't matter. Now Kyler Murray's 2-0.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, but if you don't contain him in the pocket, he will kill you. I mean, that's basically what we're seeing. Like, I mean, we're seeing the Titans because he's so hard to tackle. Like, these goons cannot tackle him one-on-one. I mean, no lineman's going to tackle Kyler Murray one-on-one. He's just like Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, he's just as explosive as Lamar Jackson. So, especially when
he's got
the ball in his hand. Go ahead.
This is something that might sound a little controversial, but Larry Fitzgerald retiring actually and drafting Rondale Moore made that offense more explosive.
Yes, it did.
Because now they're double team. Hopkins is getting a double team every AJ single
Green
play.
Too, bro. I mean, people were sleeping on AJ Green, but I watched his tape this summer.
He got his touchdown this week, too.
He was getting open all last year, and I don't know why people were sleeping on him.
And you got Christian Kirk, who he's not a slouch. You got four very good wide receivers, and Max Williams was a great tight end coming out of college.
Yeah.
Like, they have five legit options in the passing game. So – you got to keep him in the pocket Because if you let him out, he's going to torch you, because you can spend all day covering Hopkins. Everybody else is going to end up open. Yeah. And all I'm seeing is wide open wide receivers down the field. And it's making Kyler Murray's life easy, because all he has to do is just get to a place where he can square his shoulders and his hips and just put a ball out there. And the receivers have the easiest job in the world, because they're just standing there waiting for a football to show up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a super talented quarterback, bro. And I even think he's smart quarterback.
He's a super talented athlete who's in a position where everybody is wide open.
See,
that's what's going on.
I don't know.
I'm not going to go that far.
Because my only thing with Kyler Murray is that I just think he's too short and he's not tough enough for how short he is. That's my whole thing. It's like he ran out of bounds to stop the clock to allow the Vikings to have a chance to get the field goal, because they did a run play and he ran out of bounds to avoid a hit. Like, bro, you can't run out of bounds at that point. He's just not tough enough for how short he is. Like, Russell Wilson's tough. You know what I mean? Like, he's just, you know, it's just like he's tough in the pocket. He's going to take a hit, you know what I mean, and try to make a throw. Kyler Murray's not taking a hit for nobody.
he can't afford to.
Yeah.
If he gets a bum ankle, it's over. It's over.
Yeah. But that's going to hold the team back going into December and November when it gets tougher, bro. And you have to be tough and people know what you're doing and you have to still execute. That's when it's going to get tougher for him. If he, you know, can't be tougher in the pocket, because I really think like pre-snap, he's good. Like a lot of those touchdowns, the Titans, they were playing cover zero. He saw those cover zero. He killed them. He's good pre-snap. He's good at like everything. He's just not tough enough. And he's short and he can't see because he's not tough. So he's not going to step up to try to see. And he can't move in the pocket to find passing lanes that are good enough because he's not tough enough there. That's always going to be his problem. It has nothing to do with the way he plays quarterback, in my opinion. It's just he has a limitation that he never had to overcome when he was playing in college and high school. And he has to overcome it in NFL. And I don't know if he's willing to put the work in to do it. That's basically how I feel about him. And that's kind of like my thought. That's why I'll never like put, I don't know if he'll ever be like throughout a full season, because he did this last year. I mean, last year, bro, he did the same games, but you know, teams are like, okay, let's see you play from the pocket. And then it didn't work, but now everybody's letting him get out. And you know, that's what I'm saying. If you crash, if you're a defensive end and you're an edge rusher and you crash on Kyler Murray, he's just gonna spit out.
Passes. He's gonna get around. Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, he's gone. He's gone.
That, you have to slow rush him, and then like especially like if he tries to turn out, you just step in front of him, and then and then he's just tossing in the air, and that's when you start getting the turnovers from him. So that, I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to keep him in the pocket. You can't let him out. But I mean, teams are doing that right now. So he's going to kill you if you don't. So that's it. That's it, basically. At this point,
so now they're 2-0.
Yeah,
they got a gift of a win, and they're going to Jacksonville. Marcus, I'm like 90% saying that Trevor Lawrence gets his first win this week.
Oh, you're going that far? I don't know about that, bro. Challenge.
I'm curious. I mean,
and Lawrence is still refusing to check down. He's like refuses.
No, I know. I'm not
like 25% of his passes are 15 yards or more.
This feels like one of those games where they're gonna come in and completely underestimate an NFL football team on the road, cross country, West Coast to East Coast. Like everything's setting up for an upset here. I'm like 90% certain to say take the points for Jacksonville, and I'm like 89% saying take Jacksonville money line.
Yeah, I mean, you may have a point, Chris. I mean, you may have a point. I mean, Jacksonville did not play the Broncos that bad last week. It was like 10-7 going into halftime, and the Broncos, you know, got some good picks because Trevor Lawrence, he's just forcing everything right now. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
He's forcing a lot of stuff. So, they did play the Broncos last week pretty well. I mean, the Broncos didn't like beat them down. It was 23-7. So, I mean, I'll tell you, Bridgewater is playing well, but he has a lot of weapons and that line's playing pretty well, but they're not explosive offense. There's like a slow bleed. It's the same thing they did to the Giants the week before. It's a slow bleed 20-point win. Slowly bleed it out of you. It's not like a explosive. It's a lot of garbage time. It's just like you just we're on our last drive, we're going to stretch this to 20 points. It's a 13-point game, we'll say, but at the last drive, we're going to run the clock and get that last touchdown on you. So I don't know about the Broncos, but I don't know, man. You know, if teams don't try to contain Kyler, and you know, maybe they feel like they can stop them some other way, I mean, he's gonna blow the top off them for a while. Yeah. But we'll see. Yeah. We'll see once we get later on the season. Somebody's gonna try to contain him. Somebody's gonna be like, don't let him out.
Absolutely.
It might be this week. I mean, it's week three. This is when football really starts. We're gonna see who is really a fraud, who, you know, who actually can game plan, because you have two weeks to tape now. So now teams have two games to watch tendencies and things that you do. So that's when really, I mean, this is when the NFL starts. That's why as an NFL team, you want to get a win out of one of the first 2 weeks, because you start off 0-2, that puts you in a bad, because then now you know what you're doing. And now you have to try to come back from that. You get that 2-0 start, you got a little bit of a head start on that. But and getting 1-on-1 too, that you kind of stay right there. But the NFL starts to me like right now. This is when we're going. And I'm just happy that defenses are playing so much better. Quarterbacks, QBRs are not all at the 90s right now. They're a lot, the highest one I think in the NFL is like 79. So that tells you that NFL is playing defense this year, which I'm happy about. I don't know if anybody's gonna throw 5,000 yards. I mean, maybe, but I mean, maybe Brady.
There's an extra game, Mark. We talk about there's an extra game. Somebody's getting to 5,000.
Is somebody gonna play though? They're gonna play the extra game.
I don't know.
Because the Bucks, we didn't even get to Brady. The Bucks, I don't know. They look unstoppable. I don't know.
that's a big matchup this week in LA.
What do you talk about that, man?
Two 2-0 teams about to match up.
Here. I mean, Stafford's looked good 2 weeks in a row, man. He looked good this past week too.
Yes, he did. This is gonna be a big game. This is going to be a big game for those two.
To be honest, I think he's playing higher than McVay's offense is allowing him to play. I think he has a good connection with Cooper Kupp, and Kupp are on the same page.
I'm loving.
Your fantasy?
Bro, I picked him up the last 3 years, and this is going to be the year that he's always been a good fantasy wide receiver that you get in like the 7th, 8th round.
Yeah.
Now he's going to have a year that's going to put him into the second round.
See, I'm mad about this because, you know, I took Robert Woods, you know, because Robert Woods had the better year, but he was gospel.
No.
He was gospel.
Cooper Kupp. Yeah, he does. Cooper Kupp does the work that he's got, that blue collar work that Matthew Stafford loves.
Oh, man. All right. But yeah, that's a big game. I'm interested in that one. I mean, that's a litmus test because
a coin flip right now.
Because if Stafford loses this one, you know, are the Colts and Bears playoff teams? We don't know.
Right.
I hate doing that to him, but this is a funny stat. It's just funny. 868, bro. Come on, bro. Damn.
Yeah.
I know you're on a bad team, but damn, bro. You couldn't beat one.
I'll just beat somebody over 500. Just beat somebody over 500.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Like he's got the Bucks coming in, and I mean, if he lays an egg, bro, they're gonna murder him. You know that, right? They're gonna go in on him if he lays.
You think
an
they're
egg
gonna turn on him right away?
Yeah, I. Some people will. Some people are like, he can't win. He can't beat good teams. You only beat the especially, you know. And then I don't know who they play the following week. But like, let's say they play at the Seahawks or something the following week. Man, it's gonna get
two in a row
or something like that, and they're both like the good teams, bro. They're gonna eat him up. So that's gonna be an interesting dynamic for him because I know they're not gonna. I know, I talk about quarterback narratives all the time. I mean, he has good narratives about him though. Everybody loves him still. But
That's what happens when you play on a garbage team for your entire season. Now he's on a good team. Now he's got expectations. So it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, so he's got the Bucs and the Cardinals and the Seahawks the next 3 weeks.
I take him over the Cardinals and I take him over Seattle.
I probably would have them beat Seattle because Aaron Donald just I don't know. He just loves.
He's going to eat in both of those games, man. He's going to kill both of those quarterbacks.
Yeah, he loves eating short quarterbacks. I don't know what it is. Maybe because he has a short complex and he's the shortest defensive lineman in the field. But he just loves short quarterbacks, man. He just eats those guys alive.
Yeah.
So
coming right up the middle, too. Like that. It's gonna be bad. But I got such a low opinion of both of those teams that, you know, could be a little bit of bias on my side. I mean, I just basically said I think Jacksonville beats the Cardinals. Come on. So
yeah,
my opinion might be a little low. But that's a big matchup for Matthew Stafford. That's a huge NFC game. Rams versus the Buccaneers.
Oops, yeah.
And then we've got another massive NFC matchup with the Packers and the Niners.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah,
like Packers, those are the four teams that everybody is going to say, you know, it's going to come down to those four in the NFC.
I mean, I don't know about your Packers defense, bro. I don't know. We'll see.
They looked like Swiss cheese in the first half against Detroit.
They had Peyton Manning loving Jared Goff, bro. Peyton Manning was just like, you know, thinking, you know, Jared Goff is –
Goff was 12 of 13 in the first half.
I know,
with
bro.
A touchdown. With hey, two Nate touchdowns.
Manning is a big fan of Jared Goff, though, which I think is super interesting. Like, everybody hates Jared Goff.
He does. He does like Jared Goff a lot. Big fan. You know what I like a lot?
Yeah.
That ESPN2 broadcast to him and Eli is gold, man.
Yeah.
It's absolute gold. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, Peyton, he watches the game like a quarterback. So, like, everything is, like, just about the quarterback and he reads the field, you know, so he gets into it.
A little
like
pocket awareness loves the Manning boys on Monday night.
Yeah, but it was just super interesting, man. He loved Jared Goff. And then I remember he did a detail on him a couple years ago. Yeah, he's a Goff fan. He's like, I think you go to Super Bowl with him. Like, I don't know about that, bro. But, hey, Peyton. All right. Chris, any last thoughts? Any other things? I think we're good.
A little disappointed in our Arizona State Sun Devils. All those turnovers and penalties killed them, man. They had an opportunity to jump into the top 15 in the nation, to be the number two team in the Pac-12, and they laid an egg. So take Arizona State -8.5 against Colorado at home for the first Pac-12 game of the season.
I mean, they can still win the Pac-12, I guess.
But they could easily. I mean,
if they run the table and beat Oregon, then who knows?
Yeah, who knows is right. Oregon's. I mean, that's the standard now in the Pac-12. We got UCLA this or my UCLA, Colorado this week, and then UCLA. We're on the road at UCLA, so big 2 weeks here for our Sun Devils, Marcus.
Yes, sir. We'll see how that goes, man. All right. All right, guys. So we're out of here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Make sure you follow us the same thing on Instagram, ALPA_QB1 for Instagram. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at the Mark John NFL. Follow Chris at King Manelos for Chris. Make sure you also get us on Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness for Facebook. And then, of course, subscribe to this. All right, on iTunes and download on Spotify. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Peace.